With me to Mark chapter 12, verse 28, if you have your Bibles. If you're fairly new, they'll be up here also. The question this evening is, how do we love others as he loves them? So I want to start out with just reading our scripture for tonight. Mark 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, and did you notice that Jesus didn't hesitate? He didn't hesitate because, as we said last week, he wrote it, right? The first of all the commandments is, hear, listen, O harvest, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, or the Lord alone, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you remember the strength is with all your very, an adverb, and then you fill in the blank. This is the first commandment. And then he continues with the subject that we're going to look at tonight. And the second, like it, is this. You shall, or you will, is really maybe the way it should be done because it's the future. You will love your neighbor, one who is close by, one who's just nearby. You will love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment singular greater than these. So he combines the two into one commandment. These two commandments, to love God and to love people, reduced into one commandment by Jesus, is our goal as Christians, right? If it's the first and second commandment, how much better does it get than that? It's our guiding principle, it's our focus, our value. It's our marching orders. It's our path to everything we do in the ministry and of simply just being a God follower. Loving him and loving others is the expected response. And so today I want to reflect on loving our neighbors ourselves. And the greatest question that most people would ask, and we even have a lawyer asking Jesus this same question, who is my neighbor? And, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, why do we ask that? And I think it's because I remember years ago I was working in a company, and one guy spoke up when we were talking about customers and salespeople and all that kind of thing. And he says, you know, it sounds like what we're trying to figure out is who don't we have to serve? Who don't we have to like here? And I thought, you know, in some ways we kind of think that way. Who don't we have to love? Right? Well, you don't have to love your cousin or whatever it may be. You just fill in the slot, but everybody else we have to love. No, we have to love them all. So in Matthew 5:43, if you remember this, it says, and you have heard it, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Now, as I looked at that verse and I thought about the question, who is my neighbor, and what are we supposed to do but to love our neighbor, I remember years ago I taught in a church, a junior church we called it. Now, these days it doesn't seem like there's any junior church, but when the adult church was going, we had a junior church, and I did that for years. With some other people teaching junior church. And probably the most asked for story that the kids, in fact, they got to a place every week, they would come and beg me, will you tell the Good Samaritan story? Because they love that. And Jesus tells a story answering the question of the self-righteous lawyer. And the passage says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? So I want to tell the story. Now, it's a little amplified because I did it for kids, right? So I probably won't quite stay with the text. But there was a certain man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And could you wind it back one slide? Thank you. By the way, that's the road to Jericho. It's the wadi that goes all the way down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho's below sea level, and Jerusalem is about 2,700 above sea level. So it's quite a jaunt down. Okay, you can go back to the other slide. But on that road, there were a couple thieves, and these thieves kind of hid by the rocks, and they were waiting for people to come along, because what they wanted to do is they wanted to steal their money. Do you think that's right? Now, you have to do it like the kids, all right? Do you think that's right? No, we don't want to steal the money. So anyhow, they would hide behind the rock, and they were pretty bad guys. And so pretty soon, somebody would come along. You could hear them whistling, coming down the road, and they get right by the rock. And so they would plan. They go, okay, now you go to the left, and I'll go to the right. We'll get him. And so, bam, they go right out. Now, that's why I do to the kids. Okay, I'm sorry. And they loved it. They loved it because they get scared. And so they'd run around, and so these two guys run, and they get the thief, and they start pounding on him and beating on him, and then they steal most of his clothes, and they take his money bag with all the money in it, and they run off. And here's this poor guy right on the trail, bleeding, and he's hurting, and he's thinking, I hurt, my arm hurts, and my chest hurts. And pretty soon, he hears something. Somebody's coming up the road. And all of a sudden, he sees, and it's a priest, and he goes, please, please, can you help me? And the priest looks at him, and he goes, wow, you're really dirty. How do you get so dirty? And I bet you, even if I get close to you, you'll smell. And so I can't do that. I've got things to do for the Lord. And he walked off. And the man laid there for a little bit. He thought, wow, am I going to die? I'm thirsty, and I'm bleeding, and my arm hurts, and my leg hurts, and my ribs are broken, I think. And pretty soon, a Levite comes along. And a Levite is like a preacher, and he comes along, and this preacher man. Now, do you think that the first guy, did he do right? No. You got to do it that way, all right? No. Okay. And so then the Levite comes along, another preacher, and the man sees him finally. He yells out, please, please, will you help me? I'm hurt, my arm hurts, and I'm bleeding, and I think I broke my ribs. And the Levite looks at him, and he says, ooh, you are bleeding, and you're filthy, and man, I am late for a church meeting. And I've got to get to the church meeting, and off he went. Did he have the right response, kids? No. No. Okay. And so pretty soon, he hears off in the distance a guy whistling, coming down the path, and he looks, and it's his enemy, a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan was the enemy of the Jew during that time. They were kind of half-breeds, and they didn't get along, and so they didn't really talk to each other, help each other. And so this Samaritan comes along, and he thinks, should I say something? And he's thinking, yeah, but I'm going to die here if I don't say something to him. And so he said, please, please don't hurt me. And the Samaritan said, why would I hurt you? And he said, well, I was beat up and robbed, and my arm hurts, and my leg hurts, and I think I broke my ribs. And the Samaritan comes along and says, well, let me help you. And so he gets off his donkey, and he looks at him, and he takes some old rags, and he takes some wine and oil, and washes all of his wounds up, and puts his jacket around him and sets him up on the donkey, and off down they go to Jericho, and they get to an inn, and he takes him into the inn, and he cleans him up and continues and puts him to bed for the night. And the next morning he gets up and he goes to the innkeeper, and he says to the innkeeper, listen, here's some money to take care of him, and if it costs more money than this, you know I go back and forth here. I will come back, and I will pay you what is owed. Did he do right?
Yes.
Yeah, he did right. Did he love his neighbor as himself?
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, the Samaritan and this man were enemies, and the enemy loved him. So Jesus says, Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So now that we kind of have an idea of what our neighbor is, it's kind of hard to adjust back out of junior church, isn't it? Okay. God wants us, by loving our neighbor, to show mercy, don't you? Isn't that what he said? He who showed mercy on him, and Jesus said to him, go and do likewise, show mercy. And Jesus is quoting from Leviticus 19:18. So turn there, if you have your Bibles, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. And let's start with the 17th verse. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke or admonish your neighbor. And not bear sin because of him, not be passive and join in to the sin. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The very words of God. Isn't that cool when you think about it? Last week, I gave a window into our subject this evening concerning how we are to view loving others as ourselves. And many people during Jesus' time seem to be asking the question, what does loving your neighbor actually mean? And the key to understanding how Jesus interpreted love your neighbor is actually the last of the verse, which literally means love your neighbor not as, but like yourself, would be the real way to translate it. Love your neighbor like yourself. And traditionally, we read it as love your neighbor as yourself. So what God is saying here is that we should love others as much as we love ourselves. And if we say as ourselves, then that's fine. But we talked a little bit about how deceptive that can be because, first of all, we don't even know quite how we love ourselves. And we usually love ourselves much more than we think. Amen? And that we're supposed to love them, and then it's kind of a measurement. And that could be a great goal, but we, like I say, we're self-forgiving, especially in our society, and maybe we don't like our weaknesses, or we might even become introspective if we see a weakness, but we certainly don't bark back and jump back judgment inwardly at ourselves like we do others. Or is it just me? Okay. So it can be read in a literal way, which actually makes more sense, or just as much sense, and draws our attitude to a much better place. We can love people as ourselves, but we can love people like ourselves. So instead of comparing two kinds of love, you and I can compare ourselves with our neighbor. Love your neighbor who is similar to yourself. Isn't that kind of cool? Supporting this interpretation, just a few lines down in Leviticus 19:33 and 34, is a very similar phrase. And he says, and if a stranger dwells with you in the land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, or like yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In other words, you and I should have sympathy and compassion for them because we've got to remember, he's telling the people there, you've got to remember your situation that you too were a slave in Egypt and you were the outsider. So the idea of comparing your neighbor to yourself might not be so earth-shattering, but consider how it really reveals true wisdom. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor who is like yourself. I am the Lord. When you're angry with your neighbor, don't forget, you're just the same way. Now, I thought, how can I illustrate this so that we kind of bring it home? And I thought, oh, good, driving in traffic is always pretty good, isn't it? That's always a good example. And have you ever driven down the road and someone pulls out in front of you because you couldn't see them and you're not at all happy with the situation? Everybody with me so far? Okay. And then, after you've made your remarks about their inability to drive and their inability to show a true driver's license, okay, you then find yourself pulling out in front of someone else. But we're very forgiving, aren't we? Well, I did that all in about an hour's time. It was last year sometime. Let's see, was that last week? Yeah. Yeah, someone pulled right out in front of me and even put their hands up like, you know, and it kind of took me off guard because usually people don't put these hands up, right? And so, I was kind of irritated, but you know what? You make a mistake, and I realized the guy didn't mean it, and yet all of this kind of races through our head, and maybe we verbalize out loud, maybe we grumble, maybe we act righteous. I don't know how you do it, and you know what you do, but later in that day, I got to this blind spot, and I couldn't see because I had a big truck on one side and a big tree on the other. I don't know why they plant trees all the way to the end. I got to talk to these city officials. Oh, sorry, Mark. And but later in the day, I pulled out, and I pulled out of that blind spot, and I mean, this guy was roaring down there, and he was right on top of me, and I immediately thought about that previous guy, and I'm thinking, anything I even thought about him, I take back, right? We're in the same predicament. We have the same weaknesses. We have the same failures. And I realized that this new guy that was waving hello with one finger, right? And expletives as he was rolling his window down so that I would hear it as loud as I could. I raised my hands up. Well, it didn't work for him, but it was my fault. I was in the same place earlier on the opposite side. Love your neighbor who is similar to you. You know, that's an interesting statement because we get mad at the same things we do, right? What a drag. And we realize we're guilty of the same traits, and we realize we shouldn't bear grudges against them, but we should forgive and love them instead of the reverse, as Jesus commands us. So all people, including ourselves, are flawed. We have sin in our life. We need to love them back because they are like you and I, with all of our weaknesses. That's the way God, I think, really wants us to look at it. We are alike in our weaknesses and frailties. We are to love those who don't seem worthy because we ourselves are unworthy and need God's mercy as well. Amen? We understand love your neighbor this way, and in understanding our love your neighbor in this way, it reveals the logic behind Jesus' line in the Lord's Prayer when he said, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Do you see that? We forgive, they forgive. It's easy to be forgiven, but it's hard to forgive. And we need the attitude of the tax collector. If you remember the story of the parable that Jesus tells in Luke 18:9. It says this, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And then he talks about two men who go up to the temple to give their money, and the first one's a Pharisee, and he says, I thank God that I am not like that guy over there, the tax collector. Can you imagine? He said, I thank God I'm not like them. I'm not an extortioner. They're unjust and they're adulterers and they're sinners. And even like this tax collector over here. And the tax collector hears him and he wouldn't even raise his eyes. He just lowered his head and he beat on his chest. And he said, God, be merciful to me as a sinner. And I look at that and I think, that's what God's asking of you and I. When we look at somebody that treads us or hurts us or persecutes us or whatever it may be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what he's looking for. Do you ever stop to think that when you love someone else, you are displaying God's mercy? He's asking you to display his mercy. We look at that righteous man, and he ignores the rebuff of self-righteousness. We forget our neighbor is similar to us, and we begin to believe our own marketing that we're perfect. Don't you hate it when you get to that place where you're thinking, man, I've got it all under control, and somebody comes along and goes, by the way, so what did God say to that Pharisee and to the tax collector? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the question I have for you tonight is, why don't we show mercy to people? Traffic, whatever it may be, at work, school, at play, at home. What if we began to show mercy to the people around us? The question is, have we forgot about God's mercy in our life? That's the real issue, isn't it? We get to feeling so good in worship, and we get to feeling so good hearing the word and growing in our life, and we love it. We forget it's all based on his mercy. And all he's asking us to do is turn around and give mercy to our neighbor. Let's pray.